Thanks, everyone. Good to see you this morning. We're going to talk a bit about New York City's experience with meaningful use and data exchange. I'm going to do the boring background. Kristen's going to do the real interesting stuff. There are some other New York City folks scattered around. I know I saw Mike Hansen. I don't know if Dr. Zucker is here. There she is, the assistant commissioner. So lots of folks, if you have other questions. Many of you know Amy Matroka. She sends her regards. Could not be here for the conference this year, but still actively involved. So I'm going to very, very briefly talk about meaningful use. You've heard it by now several times. Most of you heard Jessica Kahn once or twice or maybe more, and the other presentations here as well. Give you a little background on the CIR, the Citywide Immunization Registry. Then Kristen's going to talk about the process that's being followed in New York City and how it's been going to date. Well, you've seen all this stuff, meaningful use and objective and a measure. Fairly low bar set, but still a challenge for systems that are trying to talk to lots of places and that are under a pretty significant funding duress, as you all are likely experiencing. The required slide with the objective and the measure. Again, I think you've heard this now several times during the conference, but if there are questions, we'll be more than happy to answer them. Required format is HL7 version 2 messaging. I think part of what we heard Mike talking about in Kansas is that some health information exchanges are very focused towards clinical documents. And you need to understand that if an EHR system is only spitting out clinical documents, you may have some issues about achieving meaningful use for public health transactions. Real quick about the CIR, it's been in production since 1997, does what most IIS do for a population of about half of the state of New York. It's a little bigger than some of your registries, perhaps, bordering on almost 4.5 million patients, upwards of 50 million immunization records, a whole bunch of active providers, good clinical decision support, which we continue to work on every day. What does interoperability do for clinicians? It makes it easier for them to submit, reduces some of the effort. New York City also has bidirectional exchange if providers choose to make use of it, including returning the recommendations from the decision support algorithm again if the provider is willing and able to receive that information back. Many EHR systems don't know what to do with the decision support and information that might come back to them. And this is all about completing the CIR records and completing the provider's records as much as possible to make sure that kids are neither over-immunized or under-immunized. And currently, just little more than 800 provider sites are currently using EHR systems that we know about. Won't go into very much detail, but the interface for the bidirectional exchange is a web services interface, fairly easy to integrate with the EHR systems, almost regardless of the technology that they're using. It's something that we added to the suite of software that the CIR uses, but it was relatively easy to integrate it in. And we are using the transport technology that was selected by a CDC expert panel just recently as the main transport protocol for IIS focus. Okay, so I'm just going to turn it right over to Kristen to do the good stuff.
So I'm going to start talking about New York City's process in preparing for meaningful use and what we've done to date. So The web service that Noam just described, we put into production in June of 2009, and shortly after that, we had our first big partner connect with our web service, which was Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. And they're somewhat unique in that they did the query piece first. So they have been querying our web service for over a year and a half and taking our data and using it to populate their own immunization records. In July of 2010, CMS announced the meaningful use final rules, and on this timeline, the red boxes represent when a vendor or a large hospital began working with us to connect to the web service. So as you can see, between July of 2009 and July of 2010, there wasn't a great deal of interest in connecting to our web service. But shortly after the final rule was announced, we saw an explosion of interest from vendors who wanted to connect to the web service. And shortly after the announcement of the CMS final rule, we were awarded a grant from CDC and ERA to do this interoperability work. When a vendor or hospital approaches us with interest in connecting to the web service, we develop this process that we generally go through with each and every one, which begins with us sending them our CIR HL7 integration guide, which is our technical specification document. And we also send them what we call our implementation checklist, which is a checklist of all the steps in the process that we're going to go through from the initial contact to implementation of the interface. And we can share that with anybody who would be interested. Once we give them some time to review all of the documents that we send them, we try to implement regular conference calls, generally on a biweekly basis, and we discuss the development of the interface, answer any questions that they may have for us, and try to make sure that all the steps that need to be addressed in the process are being addressed. Once they complete the development, we go into our testing process, which we do using an enhanced QA tool that we developed with HLN. And I'll talk a little bit more in detail about that in a couple of minutes. And once they have gone through our testing process, we certify them to begin implementing the interface to their clients in New York City. And the timeline for this process from the initial contact to the rollout can vary between 2 and 6 months, depending on how much time the vendor has to actually devote to working on this particular interface. So while we're working with the EHR vendors to create the interface, we really try to encourage them to create a product that will have the most utility both for the clinicians as well as the CIR. So we ask them to include as much information as possible when they're putting together the HL7 message. And we really push them to include fields like VFC eligibility status, the vaccine manufacturer and lot number, as well as some other fields that are important for us for matching purposes, like Medicaid number, medical record number, and mother's maiden name. We also encourage them to do some internal validation of the messages before they get sent to CIR, so to do some basic checks to ensure that the date of the immunization is not prior to the patient's date of birth. Some of those basic things just to prevent CIR from receiving bad data and us having to send an error message back to the vendor. And sort of along the same lines, if there are errors that they receive in an acknowledgement message back from the CIR, we really try to work with them to develop an error handling process that is effective and convenient for the provider. Based on some of our past experience, if a provider has to do something that's outside of their workflow in order to check the errors and correct them, then they're less likely to get done. So we try to encourage them to develop an error handling process that will be easier for the provider to use. For our testing process, we require that the EHR vendor select one pilot site from which to test. And we have them send us 1 month of real patient data through the web service test environment that we have set up. And we evaluate that data that comes through using this enhanced QA tool that I mentioned before. And the tool allows us to search for messages that came from a particular facility, and we can specify the date range that we want to look at. And the tool will quantify for us the total number of messages that were sent, and it will categorize them as successful, partially successful, and failed. So we can see the number for each of those categories. And among those that were failed or only partially successful, it will identify the most common errors that were observed. So for each of those categories, meaning successful, partially successful, or failed, it will provide you a list of all the messages that fell under that category. And you can drill down a level deeper by clicking on a particular message, and it will give you the parsed field values for that message. So it will delineate first name, last name, date of birth, and it will show you exactly what each field was populated with. And when you look at the message at that field level, it will also highlight in a bright color where exactly the errors occurred, so you can pinpoint that quite easily. So if we do observe any errors in that 30 days of data that we receive, we speak to the vendor about it, give them some feedback on their messages, and ask them to correct any errors or issues that we observed, and then repeat the test with new data until all issues have been resolved. So we've had a lot of partners in this work, and I want to acknowledge them and talk about the progress that we have made to date. So an important partner is our local regional extension center, which is called New York City Reach. And they have four preferred vendors or meaningful use partners. And these four partners have contractual obligations to develop a bi-directional interface with the CIR, which is really helpful for us because we don't have to negotiate with them as to whether they're going to develop both of those communication pieces. And the other important part of this relationship with the Regional Extension Center is that these four vendors have to develop a design document, which will document exactly how all the information that they're going to include in the message, how they're going to handle the errors, what they're going to do in terms of decision support. So all of this is laid out for us right before the development of the interface even begins. And the EHR vendors themselves are also an important partner in the work, of course. And this pie chart just shows the market share of EHR vendors among providers that report to the CIR. So there's 805 provider sites that we know of currently that are using EHRs. And eClinicalWorks is a huge part of the market in New York City with almost 405 sites. QuadraMed is also an important vendor. They're used by the Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is the largest public hospital corporation in New York City. And there are a number of others that we're currently working with, a total of 26 at the moment. And Office Practicum is currently the only one that we have in bidirectional communication. So I wanted to mention some of the successes that we've had so far. Up here it says we have 19 providers in production for bidirectional communication. It's actually 21 now. We had a couple more connects last week. We've received close to 23,000 VXU messages, which are the immunization report messages. And we have 26 sites from Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, which I mentioned earlier, which are in production just for the query messages, but they're in the final phases of testing for the reporting piece, so we hope to have them bidirectional very shortly. We're working with 26 different vendors to connect to the web service, and one is in production. And we have the involvement of most of the large hospital networks in New York City, which is important because they cover a large proportion of the population, and so it's important to have those big partners on board. And we're also working with New York City schools to be able to query the CIR and check the status of students' immunizations to check for compliance with school immunization requirements. And the New York City schools cover about 1.1 million children, so that's also a very big partner for us. Some of the challenges which have sort of been mentioned is our resistance on the part of the EHR vendors to develop bidirectional communication. Since meaningful use only requires unidirectional communication at this time, many vendors are reluctant to put in the extra work and the extra programming required to develop a bidirectional communication. But as Mike said before, the value of, you know, for providers is really in the bidirectional piece. And so as much as we can, we encourage the EHR vendors to give the clients you know, both the reporting piece and the query piece. There's been some resistance to developing a web service interface with real-time messaging. Some vendors prefer to do batch files or HTTP posts, which we don't support at the moment, so that sometimes takes a bit of negotiating. We have limited leverage in keeping the vendors to the timeline that they set out at the beginning. We do as much as we can to make sure that the work progresses in a timely manner, but there are some pieces of the work that are really out of our hands, so that's a challenge sometimes. And a lesson learned is that multiple hospitals may use the same EHR vendor, but that doesn't mean that one interface will work for both hospitals. Oftentimes they're using a different product or they have completely separate development teams or requirements. So in terms of work for the CIR, it requires two development streams. And another challenge is working with some of the small vendors that have few provider sites in New York City because there are costs associated with development of an interface, and when those are spread across a lot of providers, it becomes quite reasonable, but when it's spread among just a few providers, sometimes it's prohibitively expensive. So our next steps, by August of 2011, we hope to have 200 sites interoperable with us, and we hope to complete the testing with Columbia Presbyterian imminently, and also complete testing with four vendors that were sort of farther along in the process with. And once we have a good number of sites connected, we're going to measure the increases in reporting volume, timeliness, completeness of the data, and patient coverage as more sites connect. So, I'd also like to thank a few of the CIR staff that contributed to this presentation, Allison Chi, Angel Ponte, and Paul Schaefer. And here's our contact information. Thank you.